kind of pushed back on people the last year. It's the great resignation. In my opinion, it's the golden age of hiring, because more great people are looking for a transition than ever before, because they're not putting up with the crap anymore. And so it's actually a really great time to be hiring amazing people, because they're entertaining a change like they've never entertained it before.
Welcome to Business Owners Radio. Business Owners Radio, where established business owners get the latest insights, strategies, and practices to grow a sustainably profitable business. And now, taking care of business, your hosts, Craig Moen and Shai Gilad.
Welcome to Business Owners Radio, episode 221. Our guest today is Mitch Gray, author of How to Hire and Keep Great People, Designing Great Culture, Finding Great People, and Building an All-Star Team. Mitch has combined over two decades of experience as a former pastor, life coach, entrepreneur, community developer, and creator. He has developed a brand of leadership that is at its deepest level, human. Taking his heart for inspiring others and his passion for empowering leaders, Mitch teaches business leaders how to recruit great people, develop top talent, and design an empowered culture. Good morning, Mitch. Welcome to Business Owners Radio.
Hey, Craig. Hey, Shai. Thanks for having me on. Really excited about this conversation and looking forward to sharing with your listeners.
We're really looking forward to this because the topic is really hot nowadays, and you've got some great background and insight, and especially all of the elements of writing this book. Tell me a little bit of what led up to taking on this huge task of writing this book.
Yeah, I always say a book is a lifetime in the making, right? And so really the genesis of this book began, I guess about 25 years ago. So I was in my early 20s and working with a company and moved up really quickly. And within 6 months of beginning with that company, I found myself running a multi-million dollar store for them. I had no clue about how to hire the right people, how to recruit. I think I was in a position like many leaders find themselves in, and that is they're really good. They get promoted, but they're not taught the how. And so I just needed people. We were growing. That first year, we grew by like 50, 60%. The next year, we grew by another 60, 70%. I mean, it was a really cool situation to be in, except I was really frustrated with I didn't have the right people. And so I think that first year, at the end of the year, we were normally a team of about 15 to 20. And I think that first year I handed out over 100 tax forms at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year. That's how many people I just kind of turnstiled through. And what I quickly realized is that is not the way to build a great team. And so through that experience, and then obviously over the last 20 years, I've had other experiences. And about 7 years ago, I really kind of, without getting into the story, had a real kind of life-changing journey. And I began asking myself the question, you know, my life mantra since I've been a kid has been to help people live more deeper, more meaningful lives. And so about 7 years ago, I had a career transition, et cetera, et cetera. And my question became, how can I help people live deeper, more meaningful lives in the marketplace? I love business. I've always loved business, but I have a background in ministry. And I've always kind of had this pastor's heart with compassion and empathy and empowerment and inclusivity and permission. And so the question became, how can I apply that to the marketplace? And as I really put my ear to the ground in the marketplace, and as I put myself in my, you know, early 20s-year-old self again, what I realized is one of the greatest pain points, whether in 2022 or 1998, it's always we have a hard time finding people. And I've heard that all my life. I remember being 16 years old, getting my first job, hearing the manager constantly say she couldn't find people. And so this isn't new. And guess what, gentlemen? This probably isn't going away, because much like my experience, I had good work ethic, great personality, could connect with people, so I got promoted quickly. What I've learned over the years is that's how most organizations operate. They don't promote people for the right reasons. They definitely don't train people how to be great leaders intentionally. They just kind of assume leadership. So what happens is people are placed in positions of hiring not having a clue how to actually recruit, hire, and develop. And so about 5 years ago, my response to myself was, that's the ticket, right? That's the open door to begin these conversations of, as a leader slash owner, how do you reduce stress? How do you reduce anxiety? How do you build a great team that can be autonomous and independent? And I felt like I had found the magic button with that in the recruiting, hiring, development world. And so that's when I set out on this task. I'm going to write a book, I'm going to create a course, and we're going to spread the message as much as possible. And fortunately, we're doing just that. And we're getting to help a ton of people, not only leaders, but we're also getting to help employees. Kind of the result of all of this, the ripple effect, is helping employees find the culture they really align with, and can, their work can now be empowered. And so it's really cool ripple effect that takes through all of this.
Well, Mitch, there's so much content here, and you've opened up a couple key topics. And I don't know, this is a strange analogy, but I have a wren house at my house, and watching every year the male wrens coming up from the south and finding their places and housing to attract the female, you know, the standard protocol. But the time and effort that they spend creating the environment, or if you will, culture, to attract the right mate in this case. But looking back, this sort of aligns with the culture of a business. We have clients that do great at recruiting but can't keep them. And so it sounds like we really got to start with understanding our own culture and our own businesses. What are some of your observations?
You're exactly right. You know, really, what I like to tell leaders is keeping people begins with hiring the right people. And oftentimes people will say, well, I feel like I've hired the right people, but they're not staying. And if that's the result you're getting, then there is a missing element. Oftentimes that can be you are great at hiring people, but your developmental plan is lacking. You're not intentional with creating a space of empowerment, of nurturing, and of growth. And really the data and research shows us that. You know, it shows us time, over the last 40, 50 years, that when you hire someone, if you invest in them mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, they are most likely going to stay with you for a certain amount of time. The other thing we have to remember is we also live in a day and time that 3 to 5 years is kind of the average work span. You know, I like to say that kind of began with Google 10, 15 years ago when they were hiring and building. And they were like, if we look on your resume and you were with a company longer than 5 years, we don't want you because you don't have the experience. In other words, they're looking for width of experience. And so that's kind of where that's coming from, is people have this expectation that I'm going to hire and they're going to stay 5, 6, 7 years, which would be a long period of time. But if people are staying 6 to 12 months and then leaving, that is most of the time a definite development issue. We're not assuming action. We're not assuming work performance, but we're actually setting a culture of support and of education and of growth. You know, if you think about it, if someone goes into a job, and even if they like the job and it's their passion work and ties with their skills, qualifications, and talents, if they don't see a path to development and growth, they are not going to stay. And so that's where a lot of, especially small businesses, miss the boat, is they hire someone, they feel like it's a great match, the person may even be performing well, but within 6 months, all of a sudden, high performer goes, I've grown as far as I can grow. I'm not going to be able to go any further with this organization. And if that's the case, that's really where that barrier can rise up. And I actually see that quite a bit, especially on the high performer side, is that high performer, they're not interpreting an opportunity for growth because there may not be. And so that's where a lot of small businesses can really begin taking inventory and reevaluating that situation. Are we giving our people an opportunity to have some growth, to have a path to leadership, to have a path, you know, for some businesses, potentially to, you know, a path eventually to minority ownership? I've seen companies do that. And when you can put in those incentives, you're all of a sudden changing the conversation on keeping your best people.
Mitch, how do you help people think about assessing where they are right now in their business? What a lot of us are feeling right now is we're having a harder time than ever finding people to come in and work. And maybe we think our culture is working. Maybe we feel like, oh, it's not us. And then there's this tendency to blame external factors, you know, the great resignation, nobody wants to work, all of that. Sure, that noise is out there in the ether, but I think a lot of us are trying to take a step back and we do want to reflect and we want to say, what are we doing here? Where do you help people start with that process?
Yeah, great question, Shai. First of all, I always like to ask, what are you doing right now that you feel like is working? Because, you know, that's kind of a quick win. We can identify what really you think is working. And my role as a facilitator of thought, AKA a consultant, my role isn't to tell you necessarily what you're doing wrong, because that's not a sustainable change mechanism. You know, you can come in as a consultant and say, well, Shai, you're doing A, B, and C wrong. Here's the solution. I prefer to facilitate thought that helps you come to a discovery point. And that begins with, hey, what do you think you're doing right currently? What's really working? If you feel like you have a pretty good team around you, where did you find those people? How did you come across that high performer in your team that's outselling everyone, et cetera, et cetera? The other question then becomes, okay, so you, these are the areas you think you're doing a really good job in. What are some areas that you feel like you're struggling? And then that question, and sometimes it takes a little massaging, but that question then becomes to the leader or leadership team, where do you have the most anxiety and stress? Because until we really identify what's causing the stress point, it becomes really difficult to create solutions to repair and heal kind of that brokenness within the organization. And I will tell you, gentlemen, 99% of the time, there is an area with leadership, ownership, hiring team that is a causal stress point leading to the ramification of not being able to find or keep the people that they're hiring. And so once we cannot really take inventory and identify that, then the questions become, okay, so what's your willingness in healing this area, changing this area? Are you truly willing to do what it's going to take to make the changes necessary? Because I tend to be a contrarian by nature. I tend to go against the marketplace a tad bit. And with recruiting and hiring, I definitely go a little bit against the marketplace because everyone on their team normally has a high performer. The questions then become, where did you find that person? Who recruited that person? What have you done to develop that person? And basically, you're going to research and be curious about why that person is performing at such a high level. And then you're just going to repeat, reciprocate, copy that same process as best as possible throughout. Sometimes people just got lucky. And if people just got lucky in hiring their highest performer, then we have a whole lot of work to do. But it's definitely a journey that can be taken sometimes a little slower than what people want. But sometimes we can build a team really quickly. I have a current client right now that we've rebuilt a team of 15 people in less than a month. I mean, totally rebuilt without having to fire anyone. But it just became a standard of being clear, communicating our clarity well, and having a distinct culture that we're not going to settle for anything less. And so really, my point to all of that is there's a chapter in the book called The Rule of Reflection. And the beginning point is leaders being willing to reflect on what's going really well, how can we continue that, what are we struggling with, and where are those points of stress that we can maybe spend some time massaging and moving through that'll help us build a stronger foundation moving forward.
So I'm curious, Mitch, how did you possibly help this firm turn around and have this great recruiting success and bring all of those new employees in such a short period of time? Where before they were struggling, what did you do differently and how did you make it happen so quickly?
So the real glaring impact for them was their leadership. They had a general manager in that location that did not need to be there. And they knew it. Ownership knew it. So it really began with ownership and walking them through identifying why it's not working and how to make the change. I was talking about getting lucky earlier. They got really lucky and had hired someone about a year ago who by nature is an incredible leader. And they recognized this in this person. And so they made the change pretty quickly after we began working together to move out current general manager who no one wanted to work for, the people that they were hiring, they really never should have hired. It's just the morale. I mean, you could walk in the door and feel the morale was not there. So they made that change and they promoted this other person that they had hired almost a year ago from just basically kind of a regular part-time to full-time employee and moved them into the general manager role. And that was the trigger point. When you can align the people in your leadership who have the skills and the vision and kind of the innate ability to recognize what's going on, it changes things drastically. And I gave this company something that I don't often give. Once they made that decision, I said, okay, I'm going to spend 3 days with your new GM, kind of a boot camp, and I'm going to teach them everything I know about recruiting, hiring, and development in those 3 days. And we did. I mean, at the end of those 3 days, that person, I felt bad for them because they were just almost burned out just from overload, you know. But we did everything. I think we did 25 interviews in those 3 days. We walked the streets and recruited. We looked on the applications they had coming in. We filtered through all of those. And it was just a sheer strip it down and give a boot camp scenario. And when you can do that and you can pour into someone like this person, it's amazing the growth process that takes place. And that's really what I mean by, if organizations don't have an intentional plan of leadership development, then they're really walking blindly and they have no target. And so it's really difficult to make these substantial changes if you don't know where you're going. And fortunately, Ownership Group was willing to let me come in and take hold of the reins for a few days and give this person, kind of like I said, the boot camp. I just talked to him last week. In fact, had a one-on-one review meeting, and it's incredible. Now you walk through the door of that location, they're in the restaurant industry. I mean, the energy is palpable. It's incredible. And I was actually reflecting and reviewing with a couple of their teammates, and they were like, this is a really great place now. We feel like we can come in and get the job done and do it well. And the camaraderie is different, and they're having team meetings again, and they're having some educational and knowledgeable training sessions, and just all the stuff that you want to see in a really healthy culture that wasn't taking place. And so that was a real kind of pull our bootstraps up and do it. But the willingness is the key. Leadership and ownership has to be willing, because that is the door that opens to opportunity of growth. And so in that scenario, that's exactly the strategy we took. And it was a lot of fun. I got to tell you, I don't get to do that a whole lot anymore, but man, it was a lot of fun to dig in and get dirty again and really help build and teach. I want to go back and remind listeners of what I said before, though. It really is a moment of facilitating thought and of teaching these leaders. I didn't go in and just do the work. It's really about taking them by the hand and really helping them see, this is what you can do. You can actually run your store this way. You can actually run your business this way. And that's a game changer.
It's interesting when you say this cultural change, and we walk into businesses, industrial type or retail and various others, and you feel it as a buyer coming in or as a client coming in. It permeates throughout the organizations. And you mentioned something earlier regarding stress. And I think you're really onto something there, because in a great culture, you don't feel the stress. People are more focused on action rather than worry. Tell me a little more from your experiences what that means on your side.
Craig, I believe that people are very smart. I don't think people are stupid. I assume the best in humanity. And where I'm going with that is, just like the example you gave, when you walk into someone's house, someone's place of business that has a culture and I like to use the word energy, you can feel, I mean, it's like you walk in somewhere, it almost stops you where you're standing. It's like, wow, there is something here that's different. That's both positive and negative. When you walk into a place that just kind of drains you immediately, it's kind of like that person in your friend group that is always what I call Debbie Downer, just kind of always complaining. Everything is a complaint. Everything is negativity. And you can spend 30 minutes with that person and it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I just did 40 hours worth of work. Like, I've got to recover from this. Conversely, you have that person in your circle that is just a ray of light. And you spend 5 minutes with that person and you walk away going, oh my gosh, I am really ready to go live. Let's go. It's the same in organizations. And I really believe leaders undervalue that element. But here's the most interesting thing when we're talking about human behavior. I would argue that is the single most critical element to creating a successful team. Is the energy and the presence that every single person brings to the table each day. And that goes directly into the hiring process. if we don't understand and we haven't identified the type of people energetically that we want at the table, then we'll never be able to hire them. And Shai, going back to your earlier question, people are hiring and then they're leaving or they're having a problem hiring. That is directly related to because they don't know who to hire. They're so focused on skills, qualifications, and talents that they're forgetting the energy, the presence, the work ethic, the aptitude, as Zig Ziglar used to talk about, the attitude, the integrity. Those are the elements that need to lay the foundation for who we choose to be on our team. Most everything else, outside of being a lawyer, doctor, or school teacher, most everything else can be taught. We can buy degrees, we can buy certifications, and that's a whole lot less expensive than high turnover, by the way. And that's what business leaders, they're missing the perception. Well, I need to hire someone who already has these skills, qualifications, and talents. No, you don't. Not if they don't bring the energy, integrity, and presence, because you're going to spend a whole lot more money, time, and effort in replacing that person in 6 months. And so when we're talking about permeating energy, what we're talking about is having people on our team that have the energy, presence, integrity, personality, attitude, and aptitude. They're that positive light in your friend group, per se, that when the client and customer engages with them, they never want to engage with anyone else because that person has made such an indelible impact on their life. I mean, it's a really powerful thing.
Do you think some of the challenge is in the interview process? Because I can't help thinking, like, we fall back on things that are easier for us to evaluate, right? So it seems like, it's sort of false, right? But I can look at your resume and okay, good, you know how to do this. Or, oh, you have customer experience, good, I can check that box. Maybe you had a college degree, so I know that you can, do something hard for 4 years at a time and get through it. Or, there's like these markers that serve as like proxies, but they don't measure the thing that you're talking about, right? They don't measure enthusiasm. Right. They don't measure attitude. What can we do differently when we're interviewing to try to tease out some of those traits?
So this is where I'm a little bit of a contrarian when it comes to recruiting, because I'm going to back up even further from interviewing. I actually believe, and we're talking to people that are running teams of 50 or less, and maybe they're at the point they're trying to scale, but that's kind of where they are. I know that's where your listenership group is. I actually have a principle. I think if you're running a team of 50 or less, you should be able to hand select every single person on your team. Now, I understand in the remote world and kind of the virtual industry now, it could be a little bit different, but I still think there are ways for you, your highest performers, and your best customer clients to be the recruiting mechanisms. That's where I back up from the interview. I actually believe that if you are so clear on the type of person you want on your team, you simply identify where those people are. You identify what we used to call the gold trail to hit the mother load of recruiting. And I have some stories in my book where I share kind of my experiences with that, where I first learned that principle. So you're really, instead of leaving recruiting up to happenstance, you're actually putting strategy to recruiting. That, by the way, only uses third parties and apps and agencies as a subsidiary. Those are bonuses. The bulk of the recruiting is done by you and the team and even your clients and customers. All we're doing is looking for great people. We're asking where we can find great people, and then we're going to where those people exist. The reason I bring that up is if I work through that process, I've experienced the barista at Starbucks. I've experienced the person at the tire store. I've experienced all of these people in their own setting, and I've witnessed what they bring to the table. And now when I get to the actual interview process, I've actually already done most of the interview because I've seen it in action. I know that my client or customer has seen it in action. I know that my highest performers have seen it in action. Here's the crazy thing to me. An organization has, out of a team of 50, 10 really high performers, but they never ask those high performers if they know anyone who's looking for an opportunity. But that's your most fertile recruiting ground. Hey, Craig, you're doing a great job. You've been with us a nice amount of time. Do you know anyone that's looking for an opportunity? That is the most simplest way to recruit great people because birds of a feather flock together. Your highest performers don't hang out with non-high achievers. And so it's those little tricks and mechanisms that go, okay, I'm going to do my best to attract the best people possible. I can use the other opportunities as kind of what I call from the South, gravy on the biscuits, to find other great people. But when I get to the actual interview process, I've already done the work. I've already seen the testimony. I've already seen the real life scenarios that are playing out in this person's work ethic, enthusiasm, energy, and ability. And so really the hard work is done.
Mitch, I was curious on what you're seeing in today's culture, you know, recruiting. Everybody's got a hiring sign up and looking for people. The nets are really large for trying to get qualified people. In doing so, and should people come in the door, are you able to find potential candidates? Are you inclined towards specific expertise within your organizations to do the actual qualification and actual interviewing? Are you doing group interviews? What do you see today being the most successful?
Well, kind of to go back to what Shai mentioned, I do think the interview process is lacking because of the reasons that he laid out, and that is, people are so worried about the tangible qualifiers that they're missing almost the immeasurables. And really that stems from the lack of knowledge. How do I ask questions that pull out the intangibles? And then how do I listen? And that's the other thing, is how do I actively listen? And so to your question specifically, what I see across the marketplace in general is that interviewing is not working. And the reason I say that is, A, if you're not recruiting great people, you're not going to be interviewing great people most of the time. So then you're going to be settling for who you hire. And that becomes a real issue and kind of a bottleneck on, oh my gosh, here we go again, having to hire more people again. And it's just a cyclical mad effect that's taking place. When I'm teaching the art of interviewing, I personally don't care for group interviewing, because of all the reasons we've talked about for the last 20 minutes. It's much easier for me to sit with you and eye to eye, either over a screen or in person, and gauge who you are as a person. We have to learn to hire based on humanity, not qualifications. So if we can hire based on humanity, then the qualifications will take care of themselves. But it does me no good to hire someone with the exact qualifications who isn't the person that's bringing the energy to the table that I need. That does me no good. And so at some point, we have to set the resume aside and just say, I'm going to visit with you about who you are as a person and hire based on the person. And the only way to do that, in my opinion, is to really spend some one-on-one time with that person. By the way, it doesn't take long. And again, we all know it. It doesn't take but about, 5 minutes maybe to really gauge this person's going to work for us. And then we get to the qualifications. Back when I related the story when I was in my early 20s, so 25 years ago or so, we had an unwritten rule within our organization that we were going to interview every single person that filled out an application. I was doing an average of 5 interviews a day, 6 days a week for 5 years. 5 interviews a day, 6 days a week for 5 years. And what I learned is that there are 4 or 5 really key questions you can ask and screen those people really within a minute to 2 minutes. You know what that person's bringing to the table, and you can get it right 8 to 10 out of times for the most part. And so I just believe that kind of quick engagement one-on-one is the best path. If you know what you're looking for, again, I want to keep reiterating that. If people are walking blindly, that's a whole different issue. But if they have clarity on who they're looking for, then they can really gauge and screen those people pretty quickly.
Well, Mitch, this has been great insight, and we really appreciate our time with you today. And thanks for doing this book, How to Hire and Keep Great People. Really poignant book for these times as we roll forward. Thanks again for being on the show.
Hey, thanks, Craig. Thanks, Shai. I appreciate it. This has been fun.
It's been great for everyone, and we appreciate it. And is there anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Sure. Kind of to wrap everything together, I want to leave everyone with a word, and that word is permission. And what I mean by that is I want to give people permission. It's okay to try a new strategy. And the reason I bring that up is, Craig, it kind of alludes to a question you asked a few minutes ago. Oftentimes, people don't try something new because they are scared. And I don't bring that up jokingly. I talked to so many leaders who were like, but Mitch, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to ask those questions. I don't know how to recruit differently, et cetera, et cetera. And so I really want to give people permission to try something new. If you don't know, you don't know. And the only way to get past the unknowing is repetition and practice. And so have the courage to give it a shot. If what you're doing right now isn't working, if you're struggling with finding people for your team, but let's try a new strategy. What is that old saying? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and getting the same results and expecting different results. So try something new. And I really want to give people permission. It's okay to summon the courage to do something a different way.
Our guest today has been Mitch Gray, author of How to Hire and Keep Great People, your new guidebook for designing a great culture, finding great people, and building an all-star team. You can learn more about Mitch, as well as find links to his resources, podcast, and book, all on our website at businessownersradio.com.
Thank you for joining us on Business Owners Radio. We hope you enjoyed today's show. As always, you can read more about each episode, along with links and offers, in the show notes on our website, businessownersradio.com. We want to hear your feedback. Please leave comments on this show or suggestions for upcoming episodes. Tell your fellow business owners about the show, and, of course, we would love the stars and comments on iTunes. Till next time, keep taking care of business.